By the way, I got a masculine man in my life, my daddy, my father, who's the founder of not only this ministry, but so many ministries, building Christian retreats like this, traveling all over the world. He's been to hundreds of nations. He's taken his family. I so value that. Even when we were little kids growing up, my dad made it a point to take his family with him all over the world. Before I was out of school, out of elementary school, I'd been to every state in the United States, except I think two, had been around the world a couple times, even in Indonesia for 3 months, as we were just preaching all over the country, in the Philippine Islands, and just all over the world. I love that. That's a better education than being in school, because he'd take us out of school to make these trips, and then we were homeschooled a lot. But my father heard the voice of God to leave a small Mennonite church in northern Minnesota when God said, I'm going to take you to the nations. I'm going to take you from city to city. From city to city, you shall teach my people about the things of my spirit. Now, I think a lot of people hear words like that, but my father believed it. And he came to Florida, borrowed some money to move his family to Florida. And the rest has become history. Let's welcome our apostle and the founder of this ministry and this church, and my dad, Dr. Gerald Durstein. Hallelujah. We have shofars and we have some whistlers in the house.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Make yourself comfortable. Hey, thank you. Thank you for being nice to me. You don't have to be nice to me. I am required to be nice to you, though. I appreciate the fact that you allow me to still share since I'm past 50. Quite a long time ago, past 50. I'm going to be 93 on my next birthday coming up very shortly. And I still got things to talk about. And I see if I can find my notes. I had them this morning earlier. Here we go. I'm going to talk about two interesting things. Talk about God and about wind. I want to show you the likeness of the two. How wind is like God, or like God is like wind. I know that you appreciate wind. Because in wind, there is oxygen. And you have that inside of you. You have that outside of you. You have oxygen under you, above you, around you. In fact, oxygen keeps you alive. And you have never even seen it. You don't even know what it looks like. You can't say it's round. You can't say it's square. Because you haven't seen it, what it looks like with your eyes. It's invisible. And wind has components to it. And also oxygen has components to it. But then God is kind of the same way. You can't see God, but you believe that he exists. And the Bible teaches us that God is everywhere present. Kind of like wind is everywhere present. God, wind is everywhere where you're going. It'll be there before you get there. And wind will be with you when you're traveling there. And I'm going to explain to you the attributes of wind and also the attributes of God, if I can find my notes here now. Thank you, Jesus. When you get older, you get a little bit slower. That's a part of him. I might be in this pile of papers here. Because I went a half a minute over time this morning. So I rushed off of here. Here we go. And the scripture that caught my attention some time ago was when I was reading my Bible on my lanai at home. I came upon this scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Listen carefully. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. When I read that carefully, slowly, I thought, do I have a knowledge of God? I always thought I did. After all these years in my 90s, I should by now have a knowledge of God. But then I gave it some further thought. I'm not sure if I do have the knowledge of God the way God wants me to understand him. And so he got my mind going. And as I sit still, since I'm in my 90s, it's easy to sit still. I say this many times, I like to watch the grass grow now since I'm in my 90s. I got time to do that. When I was younger, I didn't have time to watch the grass grow or watch the trees grow. But anyway, I sit still and I look out into space and I see air. I see the wind. I see different portions of life out in the wind. And I discover that there's waves of wind. I call them now plateaus of wind. There's plateaus where certain birds like to float on. You got the vultures a certain level, then you got the eagles above that level, higher, and they float with their wings outspread. They're just floating around, gliding. Then way above even the birds is another plateau. There's jet airplanes way up. You can't hardly even see the airplane anymore, only a little black dot, if you can even see that. And there's a white streak a white streak behind that plane, way up, almost into space. And I think that's amazing. And that wind is everywhere. And then as I began to search in the Bible, where do Bible verses talk about wind or about me? And I found one in John 3 and verse 8. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going to go. Then he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I thought, that's me. I was born of the Spirit. I was born again. Were you ever born again? You heard of that, haven't you? Being born again, haven't you? And I want to speak a little bit about being born again. I want to dissect that term. Dissect it means you're going to tear it apart. And I realize that anything that's born comes from one place into another place. I mean, it's true with chickens. I used to work in a chicken hatchery. And I saw many eggs that were burst, there were little chicks came out of the eggs. And there was an egg before, but then it became a little chick, became a chicken. And you, before you were born in this world, you were at another place in your mother's womb. And when you were born, you came into this world, totally a different place. And I finally concluded that anything that's born is born from one place into another place. Can you agree with that? I don't care if it's an animal. On Facebook, you see different kinds of stories and pictures of animals. They even show some animals being born from the animal. They come out of the animal and they come into our world. And it's from one location into another location. But how about when we become born again? We're here in Florida. Are we born from one location into another location? We know we're born from one condition into another condition. We were in a mother's womb, and now we're out here in this world breathing in air. And I already told you that wind and air is kind of similar to God. I guess one wonders, is God in this world? When did God come into this world? What does he look like? Do you ever see God? No, we never saw him. You do believe in God, though. I do, too. But you can't say that God is tall and skinny. He's not short and fat. He's not round. He's not square. He's invisible. In fact, the Bible says he's everywhere present. In fact, kind of like air is everywhere present. So there's attributes of wind that are similar to the attributes of God. And I've jotted some of these things down here, and I'm going to show them to you, that wind is transparent, and it's also omnipresent, everywhere present. It has pressure. Wind has pressure, and it creates plateaus in those pressures. I already told you that vultures glide on a certain plateau of air waves, and also the eagle glides on air waves, and jet airplanes fly high above on air waves. Different plateaus or levels. Does God have levels? When you become first born, are you considered a baby? Is that a level? I would think so. When you're first born, you're a baby in Christ. That's kind of what they call it. It's kind of a lower level. But it's an important level. You've got to become a baby before you can come to another level. You can grow to different levels in God. And but anyway, wind flows. Does the Spirit of God flow? We used to sing a song, it shall flow like a river. It shall fall as a rain, it shall flow as a river, as the waters cover the earth. Anyway, those are some of the attributes of wind. And then attributes of God, I discover, are very real also. And instead of calling them attributes, let's call it components of God. When you are born again, according to the Bible, you were born by His Spirit into the kingdom of God. Am I correct on that? You were first in the kingdom of this world, a sinner, and if you would die in that condition, you'd go to hell. But you can become born again and be born into the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, according to my understanding, the kingdom of God must be pretty much like what God is like. Amen. What do you think? Amen. I think the kingdom of God is kind of much like what God is like. Could you say that when you're born again, you're born from one place into another place? When you're first born, you were born from one place into another place. Everything that's born is born from one condition or in one place, and they come into another place. Am I correct on that? So why wouldn't we believe that if we're born again, we're born from one place into another place? Am I discouraging you with this? Am I making you unhappy? Stay with me. Don't leave it. Don't leave yet. I'm not done. Well, if you're born into another place when you become born again by the Spirit of God, you accepted Jesus as a Savior, as your Lord, and you call Him your Messiah. If He's your Messiah, actually, we know that He's also considered Emmanuel. It means that God is in Jesus. When you accept Jesus, you accept Emmanuel, which means God is with you. He might have been with you before, but you didn't understand Him. You didn't know Him. He wasn't real to you. But now that you're born again, I believe that God had a mind. He wanted you to understand that you're born into the presence of God when you become born again. That's a different place. Even though you're in Florida, you can actually become born again in Florida. Did you know that? I believe all of you are born again that are here this morning. You've been born again and you're still in Florida. But what if you're in the kingdom of God, what must the kingdom of God be like? It must be similar to what God is like. What does the Bible say God is? God is love. So if I'm born again, and this time I'm born into the kingdom of God, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and now I'm born into the kingdom of what God is like, I'm born into the kingdom of love. I mean, right here in Florida, where we could have a hurricane or a tropical storm someday, and yet God is still here. I don't think God gets scared of Him. He stays here. In fact, if I understand correctly, God was here even before Florida ever came. Can you believe that? Is that too heavy? Not too heavy. In fact, God was here before the earth was even formed, according to Ephesians 1. And the amazing thing, the Bible even says we were in God before the worlds were even formed. Well, that's kind of strange. I mean, that makes my mind wonder. I wonder what was God be like? And He knew me before He knew that Florida was going to be here. He knew me before I was born, that I was already in Christ according to Ephesians chapter 1. We were in Christ before the worlds were framed. So God knew us way, way back. And I don't think He knew us as we know each other, because God was never a human except when He came, when He was born of the Virgin Mary. He became a human being at that time. But God is not a human. God is a spirit. And the spirit is pretty much like wind. It's invisible. You cannot see it. But it moves. It can flow. Spirit can flow. And spirit has a dimension to it. And the dimensions of God are what his character is like. The Bible does teach us what his character is. The character of God is described in the fruit of the Spirit. And one thing we hear over and over again in the Bible, that God is love. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So when I'm born again, I'm actually born into the love of God. I don't have to pray, "Dear God, give me your love." No, no. Since you became born again, that's what came in when Jesus came in. The love of God came in. Now when people talk to you now, since you're saved, they're having a confrontation with the love of God when they talk to you. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I know that's kind of scary. It doesn't seem right, but it is true. Because if you have Jesus Christ, you have the love of the Father is in his Son, Jesus. In fact, the part of Jesus that's part of you now is the Christ part of Jesus. The Christ part of Jesus is the presence of his Father. When people would ask Jesus, "How come you're so unusual? You're such an unusual man. You do miracles. It's not me, it's my Father." Who is your Father? When you see me, you see my Father, because I and my Father are one. You read that in the Bible. In fact, I conclude that it was the Christ part of Jesus that was his Father. Because the Christ, according to the dictionary, the word Christ actually means presence of God or the anointing of God, the very presence of God. So when you're born as a human, born again by God's Spirit, you were born into the presence of God right here where you breathe in air, oxygen. I mean, God is here.
Amen.
He's not way up there. No. In fact, up is even not that direction from God's point of view. You think God has to look up to look up? No, God has to look up. Because God is everywhere. He's already way up beyond up from what we are looking up at. Are you still with me? Okay. Up, I've concluded, according to understanding God, is the area that's beyond your ability. God has abilities way beyond human ability. God is supernatural. Humans are natural. Everything that we do by what we can see with our eyes, what we can feel with our hands, what we can hear with our ears, what we can smell, what we can look at, what we can taste. We go by our five natural senses. That to us is what's human, and what we understand that in the physical. But God is beyond that. He's our creator. And so God is not in that direction. God is every location beyond your ability. And God, when you come into his kingdom, when you were born again, you were born into his ability as well as into his character. Whew. When you become born again, you were born a Christian. Did you ever hear of a Christian? A Christian. A person that now is similar to Christ since you became born again. You are now a godly person when you became born again. You were born from one situation into another situation, another location into a new location. The new location is spiritual. It's invisible, kind of like wind, but it's there. It's here, even if you can't see it. So every one of you are born into the presence of God when you're born again. You're born into the presence of God. You're born into his love. You're born into his joy. You're born into his peace. You're born into his patience, into his faith, into his goodness. All nine virtues are what God's character is like. Not only were you born into all those virtues, but you were born into his ability as well. You were born into all the nine gifts of the Spirit. The gift, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of tongues, all those virtues, all those are supernatural abilities beyond the natural human ability. supernatural. But that's part of what God is like. And when you became born again, all gifts of the Spirit are at your disposal immediately, even before you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. When you get another anointing of the Holy Ghost, you get more enlightenment. But the reality of Jesus was already in you when you got saved. So the fruit of the Spirit was already in you, and also the gifts of the Spirit were already in you. Now, what we have to learn is how to engage them. How to engage them. When you become born again, you come into a different situation. It's another dimension. It's another realm, another place. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Bible calls them dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So he comes into you to give you understanding of where you are now since you're in Christ, since you're in his kingdom. You're so blessed in this congregation to hear Pastor Phil talk about the kingdom of God, and different speakers come here and teach you how to work the works of God. Not just believe that God exists, but you actually believe that God is alive, and he's alive in you, and that what he did and what he does, you can do also, because you are godly people. You can actually engage God, but you engage God by believing that he exists, and also by believing that he is his word. In the beginning was the word, John 1:1, and the word was with God. The word was God. So it's important that you understand what the word says. Read your Bible. And when you read about what God did before, he can do it again. He will do it again when he's needed for that particular situation. He will do it again. God doesn't change. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But all the fruit of the Spirit, all nine of them are actually what the glory of God is like. God is love. Love is a facet of God's glory. Joy is a facet of God's glory. Peace is a facet of God's glory. I could give you a scripture for all those, and it's in your Bible. And the meekness of God, the temperance of God, the gentleness of God, the faithfulness of God, the patience of God, all those virtues are part of God's character. And when you became born again, you were born into the dimension or into the position or place where all these are. They're all right here now. Every time you take a breath, you're breathing in God's love. God's love is in you. God's joy is in you. God's peace is in you. That's a place. You were in darkness before. You were ignorant before. You didn't know this before, but now you know it. And so what you have to learn to do is say thank you for each one that God gave you. Especially if you feel you lack joy, if you find you're unhappy so much of the time, start praising God and saying thank you, Jesus, for your joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. There's songs like that. And there's peace, peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Anyway, he has already given you peace. You already have it. But you will engage it only when you confess it. If you only believe it in your noggin, in your head, it won't do much for you. God wants you to not only use your noggin, knowing it's in your head, he wants to use your tongue. Speak out what you believe, what you believe. That's why I love to speak and preach. Because when I hear myself, people say, what are you going to speak about? I'm not too sure yet. I got to wait till I start talking, then I start finding out what I'm believing. Because when I speak what I think I believe, that's really honestly what I'm believing when I speak it. Because when I speak it, that's when it gets tried. And when you speak it, that's when you engage God. That's when it's going to touch people's lives, too, when you speak it in front of other people. When you speak it, it engages God, and that's when God's kingdom comes into reality, when you speak what God is. And I'm telling you this morning what God is in you when you became born again. You were born from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God. I mean, you are actually, for real, in the presence of God when you became saved. And when you became a part of the presence of God, you actually are partaking of what is in heaven, that makes heaven heavenly. I know you all want to go to heaven. But do you have an idea why you want to go to heaven? Well, you want to go to heaven because it's a good place to be. It's going to be a lot of love there. There's going to be joy there. There's going to be peace there. There's going to be happiness there. There's going to be all those good things. But what if you find the God of heaven before you get to go to heaven? And what if you get to know God so well, that you're actually believing you're already there?
Hallelujah.
Does that bother you? I'm sorry if it makes you mad. Don't let it make you mad. Just think about it. And even if you don't want to believe it, don't believe it then. Stay the way you've been. But someday, if you keep reading the scriptures, hearing God's word taught, you're going to discover that God is alive. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. He's alive in my heart. He's alive all around me. God is alive. And when I understand what God is like, and already I'm telling you, God is kind of like the wind. He's everywhere present. You breathe in air. Air is inside of your lungs. Air is in your stomach. It comes in with the food you eat. And air is every part of your body, inside, outside, under you, above you. And oxygen is in that air. And that's given your life. Thank God for that life. Was God here before air ever came here? I would think so. I think God's the creator of everything. And so try to keep that in mind and be mindful of the fact that the key thing to make all this work for you is your confession, your speech, what you say. Find somebody and tell them what you hear being preached. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so if you speak it, if you don't have somebody to speak it to the curtains on your windows in your house. And you might have a dog or a cat speaking to the animal, if it's not a person there. But anyway, it's important that your ears hear you speak what you believe. I remember the beginning when I was 20 years old, 70-some years ago, I was only 20. And I came out of high school. I went through all my school years as a chronic stammerer. I couldn't say my name. I couldn't say a G or a D. I was so angry with my parents that they named me Gerald. I couldn't say Gerald. I'd always stutter in school, and they'd laugh at me. And I was always a short little guy, and I'd always stutter. But then I heard a preacher one time say that when you become born again, you receive the blessings of God, and God wants to heal you of anything you're not happy with. And I wasn't happy with my stammering ability, my stammering tongue. And so I heard another young man give a testimony how Jesus healed him of his stuttering and stammering. I thought to myself, if God could heal you, he can heal me too then. Because God's not a respecter of persons. So I began to practice what that preacher told me to do. Because there's a lot about doing the word, you know. Because when you do the word, that's when you engage God. And so he said, believe you are already healed. Find scripture that promises you that you already are healed. Well, the scripture in 1 Peter 2:25 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:24, I believe it is. By whose stripes you were already healed? By the stripes of Jesus, you were already healed. Well, I believed that preacher, and I began to start saying that, but I had a stutter saying it because I couldn't say it straight. I said, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And I'd be talking to other people, and I was just barely 20 years old at that time. I was not married yet. And was I married? I just got married. That's right, 2 months earlier. And I was telling people that according to the word of God, Jesus paid the price for my healing. And my mom was so upset with me. My mother would tell me, Gerald, don't do that. Why, Mom? Well, you're not healed. I know I'm confessing what the word says. The word says I'm healed. Yeah, but the people, you embarrass us. You're telling people you're healed, and you're not even healed. You're stuttering. Tell them, I know, Mom, be patient with me. I won't be doing this forever, because I know that once I get in heaven, I won't be stuttering anymore. And she probably thought that's going to be a long time, though, yet, maybe before you get to heaven. She didn't realize I'm going to get born again and get there pretty quick. But anyway, I kept telling people I was being healed. I'd be saying all day and all night. We go to bed, and I remember one morning eating breakfast, and my wife made the breakfast, and we were eating breakfast, and I was talking to her, and she said, Gerald, You're not stuttering. And I found myself talking, and then I thought of all the letters I couldn't say before, the G's and the D's and the words, and they came out clear. Hey, I'm healed. I'm really healed. Well, I was saying that before, but because I was saying it, by the way, I didn't have to go to an altar in some church to get healed. We didn't have altars at that time in our churches. Well, if they did, they didn't show them to us. Anyway, I didn't use an altar. I just did what the preacher said do. I just did what the preacher said do it. It'll happen for you too. Well, I did it. Guess what? It happened. Because that's why when I came out of high school, I worked in a hosiery mill. I'm a professional hosiery knitter. I know how to make ladies' full-fashioned nylon hosiery. I'm skilled at that. I made a lot of money doing that in my early days before I got married. And I knew I'd have to work in a factory all my lifetime. I'd never be a public man, be able to publicly speak, do public speaking. And yet I had a calling of a ministry in my life, but I thought that could never happen because I'm a stutterer. But when I heard the preacher say, you can overcome that by faith. Confess what the word says, speak it what the word says, and you'll get what you speak. Well, I took him at his word. I started doing that, made my mom unhappy. But then I did get healed, and everybody that knew me before, what happened to Jerry? They used to call me Jerry. He used to be a stutterer. He's not stuttering anymore. Now they were asking me to speak at youth groups and different church meetings. They started to ask me to speak, and I enjoyed doing that, going and speak. I gave my testimony how Jesus healed me. But anyway, I'm saying to you that you hold the key to see the reality of God's kingdom in your time here on this earth. You hold the key. It's according to your confession. If you keep talking about your problems, you'll keep your problems, because that's what you believe in. If you keep complaining and griping and groaning and moaning and hurting and believe that nothing can happen and change in you, get acquainted with the Word of God. Keep coming to church and hear faith-speaking ministers like Pastor Phil and others that come here at times and hear them talk about the faith they have. The man we had here last week, he was almost too much for me. I mean, I told my wife, I said, if I get to talk to him after the service, I'm going to tell him he's got to cut back at least 50%. He was going 100%, and I had a hard time keeping up with him. He was going so fast. It was interesting, though. He was exciting to watch. He was quite an entertainment just to watch. But anyway, he was saying the truth. He was giving positive words all the time, suggesting, exhorting us to do the word. Do the word of God. When you speak it with your mouth, you engage God. Now remember, I'm telling you this morning that God is in you. And when you became born again, you came out of one condition into another condition. You came from one place into another place. The kingdom of God is a place, and it's in Florida. The kingdom of God is here. That's where you are sitting in that chair right now. You're sitting in the kingdom of God. When you get back in your automobile, you're still in the kingdom of God. When you get back home, in your bedroom, in your bathroom, you're still in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, and God is with you all the time. And when you're in his kingdom, you need to know the love of God is in you, the peace of God, the joy of God, all the gifts of the Spirit are in you, all the potential of what could happen to you. The answer is within you. You don't have to call out to God, hey, God, would you please help me? You don't really have to do that if you believe correctly. You need only to say, thank you, Father, for giving to me victory. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for healing me, Jesus. Thank you for blessing me. Hallelujah, glory to God. Learn to praise him. When you praise him, you're always engaging God. You put God into action. Whenever you say, thank you, Jesus, you open his eyes, open his ears, if he has ears. But anyway, he hears you, and he's going to give you what you're praising him for. But if you don't believe that his word is true, then you won't be praising him for anything. You have to wait to come to church and hope you might be able to get happy in church. No, you can stay happy at home if you believe correctly. Just do it. And don't wait for somebody to encourage you to do it. Just do it on your own. I used to do that. I used to be afraid to say Jesus. I couldn't say their name Jesus. It was hard for me because I was brought up in the Mennonite church, and we were all very, very primitive people. We were kind of quiet. We were not Pentecostal. We were not holy rulers. We couldn't do that. But when I got old enough and I began to become acquainted with the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God, I began saying, I don't want to stay this way. So I would make myself and say, thank you, Jesus. I'd get in my car when I was by myself in my automobile going to town. I'd say, thank you, Jesus, behind my steering wheel. Glory to God. And I'd make myself say it over and over again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise. I wanted to get in the habit of praising God like I used to be in the habit of cussing. Do you ever hear people? Do people still cuss yet nowadays? I don't know. I don't hear it anymore. Maybe I'm not with the right kind of people that do cussing anymore. But years ago, they used to do a lot of cussing, and I thought that was the right thing to do, so I would practice it too, and I would do it. And I found myself, I was in the habit of it, and then I discovered that was bad, that God didn't like that. And so I wanted to get in the habit of praising God, and so I made myself get in the habit of it. Hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. And now, to this very day, since I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can also speak in tongues, praising God. And so if you don't know what to say, it's just to go into tongue speaking and praise God. Keep that in your mind, because whenever you're praising God, you're engaging God. You get God's attention. But if you say nothing, you say, well, I'm just a quiet kind of a person. I'm not that way. Well, make yourself that way. Don't stay the way you've been, or don't stay the way you are. Are you all still listening? I'm talking to you. I'm telling you that God is like wind. In wind, there is oxygen. There is life. There's also death in wind. Just the other day, my wife and I were out, and we had to burn a brush pile of leaves and some dead branches from our ground for game of the trees. Big pile. And that intrigued me, because she went up there, and we used to use matches. But we got one of those kind, you just pull a trigger and the flame of fire comes out of it. And so we put some paper under that stuff, was dry enough. And then she used the trigger and made fire come up. And I watched that big pile evaporate. I thought, that's amazing. How could that happen? And I thought to me, I understood enough that fire can only go with fire along with that oxygen. But it takes oxygen to give us life also. But that same oxygen can cause physical stuff to disintegrate. It can create a fire, and the fire can burn it up. And you know what will cause you to disintegrate in God is when you commit sin. When you commit sin, that's a negative. That's cutting away from faith in God when you choose to follow Satan, the devil. If you choose to hate, you choose to be ungodly, unkind, and that's a sin, that's a trigger, because God is with you. And that's telling God right on the spot, I don't need you, I don't want you. So God gives you guilt. He gives you condemnation. He gives you a feeling of uneasiness, unpleasantness. In fact, that kind of a sin can cause you to die, and you die spiritually. And you're not happy in your life here. But that's because of the presence of God in you, around you. And it's the presence of oxygen around us that we can actually cause physical substance that's created to actually burn up and evaporate, disintegrate totally. And I watched that pile of stuff burn up. And I thought to myself, that's such an amazing thing that everything physical that can burn can eventually burn up and evaporate. But there's something in this world that cannot burn. What cannot burn is the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord cannot burn up. You can only cause that to stop by committing sin. And if you don't want to commit sin, just tell Father God, no more. I will have no part of that, because I'm in your kingdom. I'm going to walk according to your ways. Walk in your ways and be led by your spirit and do your will. Let me give this scripture yet before I close this message here. A scripture here in John 3. Or is it? No, wait a minute. John. Yeah, John 3. Here he said, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Here's proof to me that God was in air. God is in the wind. When you breathe in oxygen, you're also breathing in God. John 20 and verse 22. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Another scripture in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God is in the wind. Try to understand that. God is in the air. And when you became born again, you were born from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And you're born into His love, into His joy, into all the fruit of the Spirit. They're in you. When people meet you, they're having a confrontation with what God is like. Can you get that? That doesn't make you angry, does it? I mean, that's a sober realization to realize that the God of the universe dwells in my body, and through my voice, through my eyes, people can catch a glimpse of what God's kingdom is like or what heaven must be like. For you are the example of that, and praise God at this church, you get to sing songs about that. The songs are beautiful again this morning about the presence of God. We should sing those kind of songs. Sing the kind of songs that declare what the peace of God is like, the joy of God is like, the presence of God is like. Because that's who you are. That's why you are still here. Because God wants the rest of the world to know Him. They get to know Him when they meet you. They get to understand Him when they meet you. Hey, are you all still listening? Okay. I better take a drink of water before I get too dry. Thank you, whoever gave me that water. But thank you for letting me share that with you. There's a lot more, but try to understand when you're still and you see the wind blowing, that God is in that wind. The wind is omnipresent, everywhere present. No matter where you go in this world, you go to Japan, wind and air is there. You go to Japan, God is there. Go to Indonesia, God is there. No matter where you go, God is already there before you get there. And then when you get there and you can engage God, when you confess His word and tell people about God. I'm telling you, when I would go to other countries, as Pastor Phil said, I would travel, we travel over the world, and I would always see the miracles happen so much faster in Israel, in Romania, different countries I would go to. When I would confess scripture, even pray over people, miracles would happen so quick. Because I was in the will of God going into all the world, and I would engage God, pray, and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing this man, healing his heart, healing his kidney, and God would create a new kidney for him. Unusual miracles would happen, and I'd be surprised myself. And I used to wonder why. Now I know why, because I would always engage God by confessing Him in my prayers. And I was taught through my faith that I should bring up my children that way. And so we caused all our children, including Pastor Phil when he was a boy, that when they go to bed, if they were sick, that we're going to pray over them and they were going to go to sleep and get awake healed. Because we believe that when we lay hands on you, they're going to be healed. But let me tell every one of you, when you meet a sick person, don't hesitate to lay your hands on them and pray a simple prayer. If you just say the word, Jesus, heal them, heal him, heal her, and name their name, in Jesus' name. You don't have to say a long prayer, but when you speak it, you are engaging God through your confession, through what you say, and you're going to see miracles happen. You're going to be surprised how powerful that power is that's within you, but it only becomes powerful because you engage it, because you have faith. You speak what you believe. Can you hear that? You don't have to always be calling on God or come to church sick. You should get already at home. You can start saying, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for changing the situation. Right now, I'm praying much for our country. Our country's in bad shape right now. We have a lot of trouble in our government, in people's minds. A lot of people are falling and walking in a spirit of hatred and uneasiness, and they're negative. And as a result, we're having a lot of problems in our country right now in decision-making. And so, I'm thanking God, Jesus, thank you for healing our people in our country. Give them peace. Give them understanding. Thank you, Jesus, for your love the love and the peace of God that comes into their lives. So what you speak, don't worry about the negative part. Think about what God is like, because you are the manifestation of God's kingdom. And God wants his kingdom to be established in this world. And no enemy can bother you if they come up against you. Because when they come against you, they're coming against God. I know that. I know that when they come against me, they're coming against me. May I give you one more story? This is kind of an off-the-wall story. This happened in Romania some years ago. And they had one of our main mother church in the capital city of Romania. They had a picture of my wife and I, a beautiful one, up on the wall in the hallway of that church. You come in the door, and one night, there was an enemy of the church. He was going to burn the church down. He had gasoline in his hand in a can, and he had a cigarette lighter in his grip, and he was going to burn the church down. He had the orders from his church. It was an Orthodox Catholic church. They didn't like me. They didn't like our churches. They wanted to burn down the headquarters church. When he walked in the church, he said, all of a sudden, well, he told us, we didn't know this all happened until our pastor came in to pray early in the morning, saw this man laying on the floor, bloody nose, some blood on his face, laying on the floor. He was unconscious, and they were praying for him, and he wouldn't come to, but then they got a wet cloth, and they put a wet cloth on his face, and he came to, and his voice spoke out and said, who are you? We're asking you, who are you? What are you doing here? And then he said, I walked in this church, and he pointed up, see that picture on the wall? That man came out of that picture and came down here and pointed his finger at me and said, you must not do what you plan to do, for if you do what you plan to do, Jesus Christ will punish you. And he said, I stepped back, and he stepped a step closer to me. He started saying the same thing all over again. He said, you must not do what you plan to do, for if you do what you plan to do, Jesus Christ will punish you. And he said the third time, I stepped back again. And this time, all I remember is I saw a flash of light, and he was unconscious until our pastor came in. Well, who was the picture on the wall? It was a picture of me and my wife, Beulah. I came out of the picture on the wall in Bucharest, Romania, to a man that was going to burn the church down. He had gasoline and a cigarette lighter. Full, and he got totally converted on the floor there, and he became one of our workers. He's still alive over there yet. But this is what happens when you start believing correctly. Believe that God is in you. You are a part of what God is. You are his presence in the world today. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Anyway, the end of that story is that 39 other churches got copies of that picture. And they all put him in the front part of their church. That was kind of cheap security for them. They thought if it happened for one church, it may happen for the other churches too. And you go over to Romania, you'll see my picture with my wife there on a wall to keep the crooks and the arsonists away. Anyway, thank you, Father. Bless these people and make us know, Lord, we're not ordinary people. We are the people of God. We're the people of your kingdom. So may your kingdom come, your will be done, and cause all our families to rejoice and be glad that we are in your presence in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening to me. Amen.
Thanks.